longer that we live for Him and serve Him, the song says, the sweeter He grows. And also, if we are diligent in endeavoring to follow the Lord and walk in a plain path, it seems like the more understanding and the more familiarity we have with the Word of God. So we're thankful today for God's love and goodness to us. And I'm reminded, been reading in the book of Ezra, back in Ezra's day, when they found the book of the law, hadn't been read for some time before the people. So they had it read to the congregation. The Bible says when the book of the law, or the God's word, was being read, the people stood. Oh, I got some. That's okay. Thanks. The people stood in reverence and respect to it. There are certain religions or faiths today that still do that when the Word of God is read. I'm not condoning that that's what God requires of you and I today, but He does require you and I to have our hearts open, our minds open, and to receive everything that we can receive or that He has for us to receive. So pray the Lord to open our minds and understanding that we can receive a little something this afternoon. I know there's just a few of us, but God's word is still precious and it's still true. Let's look at a scripture in Luke. The book of Luke, the 18th chapter. It's a familiar story. Luke 18 and verse 18. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I find that people, many people, Lord help us that we don't do this, but many people seem to want to make God more complicated than He really is. They do that with the plan of salvation. They do that with the teaching of sanctification. Down through the years, we've talked to many, ran into many that seem to have a struggle trying to understand what it means to be sanctified. The Lord didn't mean for any of His word to be hard and difficult. But He meant it when He set the little child before Him. He told us to become as humble as a little child. He meant it for every one of us to be able to understand it and get a hold of it. And I'm glad that He did. I don't have a high degree in any college or anything like that, but the Lord has been able, by His grace and mercy, to help open our minds and understanding to some of the Word that He has given us, and I thank the Lord for that. This fellow here come to the Master, the fountainhead, if you will. Jesus was the fountainhead of eternal life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Do you know there's still people today that think it's their works and what they can do to inherit eternal life, and it isn't any good thing that you and I can do? It isn't anything of us. It's what Jesus did, isn't it? It's what He accomplished on the cross for you and I, that you and I can inherit eternal life. But it went on and said, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Jesus was so good and so faithful to always recommend people to God, always showing people the Father, showing plainly the Father to the people. There is none good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy mother and thy father. And the man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. That's very admirable, isn't it? It's very admirable that he had kept the commandments all of his life. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. And that's what I'd like to kind of get on our minds and our thoughts this afternoon, the one thing. The Lord said, well, and I'm reading into this, you know, that's admirable. I appreciate hearing that you have kept the commandments from your youth up. But the Lord knew something else about him, and he knows about you and I too. He knows if there's anything in our experience or in our life that is lacking. But he said, yet lackest thou one thing, one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall a rich man, shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Isn't it interesting to you? It is me. That when I make my petitions before the Lord and open myself up to him, and he said, the young man said, I've kept all these from my youth up. The Lord went straight to the need. He didn't beat around the bush. He knew exactly what this young man's problem was, what would keep him from inheriting eternal life. So he went right straight to it. And he said, one thing you lack. Sell everything you got. He knew where his heart was, didn't he? He knew what his affections were on. Folks, he knows where our heart is today. He knows what we have set our affections on. And the Lord just, instead of going into all the rhetoric, he just said one thing. One thing you know. Do you know one thing in our walk with the Lord can trip us up? Just one thing can trip us up if we're not careful. If we get a little careless, if we get a little lose self-control over self and the things that we desire, just one little thing can trip you up if you're not careful. And the Lord knows how to point that out to us. He knows how to show us. So it behooves me that I will always be before the Lord and say, search me and see if there be in me. I want the Lord to search me. I want that one thing that I lack, I want that taken care of. Mentioned this sometime in the past, years ago. We was in Shawnee, Oklahoma, holding a little meeting. I was preaching, I think it was on a Sunday morning. Might not have been, but it was one of the days there. And I used this scripture. There was a 90-year-old brother. Brother Bud was in the congregation. Sweet man. Very precious, a very humble man. He came to the altar. I was a little surprised. But he came to the altar, and I met him there, and I said, Brother Bud, I said, is there something wrong? He said, I don't want anything to stand in my way between me and God. He had an open heart. He had a tender heart. And he wanted to be sure that his record and his title was clear. And he said, I don't want any one thing to separate between me and my God. And I was very touched by that. That happened years ago, and I haven't forgotten it. It was a good lesson for me that no matter how old I get, no matter how long I've been in the way, that I be sure that I don't have anything hindering me from making heaven my home. Because if I allow things, and you know, we're busy. with the cares of life. I understand that. We get involved with things, and it's kind of hard to keep our minds and thoughts upon things like this all the time. But folks, we need to take a self-examination once in a while. Paul said over, I think, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. A self-examination. He said, one thing thou lackest. And he knew what was in the man's heart. He knew there was covetousness there. He knew that he had a lot of riches. And he said, sell everything you got. We know that he's not talking about having to sell everything that he's got and live like a pauper, but he's got to get rid of the things that will hinder him from inheriting eternal life. Anything that will stand in the way. Jesus said, one thing that you lack. Keeping the commandments is good. That's a good thing. We can't even get people to do that today. People today feel like that the commandments are just suggestions. But they were commandments back then, weren't they? And it's still good to follow them today. I think about those. Remember when Jesus, he made a supper and he called different ones to a supper. And there were three of them in particular that I'm reminded of that began to make excuses. One of them said, I bought a piece of land and I need to go see it. The other one said he bought some oxen and he needed to go prove them, make sure that they were worthy of what he had purchased, I guess. And another one said he'd married a wife and he needed to go be with his wife. You know, Jesus was not very happy. He wasn't very pleased with any of those fellows. It isn't excuses that will be accepted at the day of judgment. The Lord wants you and I to have our record clear. And I believe that you and I pretty much know what's needful. We pretty much know what the Lord is requiring from every one of us. So again, I say it's a good idea. It's really necessary for the sake of our souls that we examine ourselves occasionally and see to it that there isn't that one thing that would hinder us from making heaven our home. I want to be able to read my title clear. I want to be able to stand before the Lord that way, that I can enter into eternal life. In the 10th chapter of this same book, maybe we'll read it, it's familiar too, because I want us to think about the one thing. How important one thing is with the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us, I believe in the 18th chapter of Matthew, he tells us where two or three are gathered together, he'd be in the midst. And then he also said when it comes to praying for someone, any two on earth agree as touching any one thing that they ask that it would be given, it would be done. Jesus puts a great value on agreement. Did you know that if you have the Holy Spirit, you and the Holy Spirit can agree? You and the Holy Spirit can stand with each other and rebuke and resist the enemy of your soul. You and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reserves the right to minister to His people, God's people. He reserves the right to pastor God's people. Even there's people that live isolated and people that live alone. Folks, they're not left defenseless. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power and the authority and the right with God, you and the Holy Spirit, to resist the enemy and anything that he would want to come against you with. So I want us to understand that one thing is needful. You and I today, folks, the one thing that is really needful for God's people is to be sanctified, that we might be able to live a holy and a godly life in this world. that we might have power within us, the power of God, working within us to be able to stand in these evil days that we're living in. It's necessary, it's imperative that we have the Holy Spirit. And the enemy loves to come along, and I've seen this time and time again, where the enemy likes to come along and confuse people about what it means to be sanctified. Folks, sanctification means that we are cleaned up, that we got rid of old self. And it means that we have given ourselves over to God. We are dedicated ourselves like the utensils that was in the temple back in Solomon's day. They were dedicated to the worship of God. You and I are dedicated to the worship of God. We really don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God, don't we? That's who we really belong to. So sanctification is a consecration, being set apart for the work of the Lord. I've consecrated myself. I've given myself fully and wholly over to the Lord for whatever He wants to do with me and with my life. That's hard for some people to do. It's hard for some people to give up the reins, if you will. As we read this morning, we will not have this man to reign over us. Folks, we do well. We do well. To be sure we get in the place and stay in the place where we want Him to reign over us. Because we need His authority in our life. We need His guidance. We need His understanding. We need those things in our life. We need His power to be able to overcome. It'd do us well if we allowed Him to have the right of way in our lives. Over here in Luke, the 10th chapter, it's an old familiar story too. Verse 38, it came to pass as they went. He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, help me to be careful that I don't get so involved with things and with life, that I get so caught up with it that I forget what's really important, that I lose my focus with my focus with the Lord and what I'm trying to do here to make heaven my home. She was cumbered about much serving. That was Martha. That was her makeup. Lord, help us. We all have a makeup. We all have a character. The Lord knows all about that. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Many things. Can you picture, well, let me finish this, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's a choice. It was a choice. Mary chose the one thing. Out of everything she could have chosen that day, she chose the one thing that was needful. And the Lord said it wouldn't be taken away from her. It wouldn't be taken away from her. Can you picture in your mind Martha out in the kitchen? She's interested in trying to get some food prepared. People always, you know, back in those days did a lot of walking on a journey. They're tired, weary, hungry. And it's good that somebody considered those kind of things. But I see in my mind's eye, she kept looking in the other room, and there was Jesus talking and her sister sitting there. Just at Jesus' feet, soaking up every word. Just sitting there. And the longer that Martha worked out in the kitchen, I liken Martha unto milk. It began to turn sour, didn't it? The milk began to turn sour. And she started having, the devil entered into her mind and into her thoughts. She began to say, why do I have to do this all alone? My sister's in there. She should be out here helping me. And she said to the Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You know, I'm gonna guess that she regretted saying that. I'm gonna guess that she regretted putting it out quite that way. She might have had an issue with Mary. Sometimes we have issues with people, with one another maybe, but folks, we should never have an issue with God. Because He does everything well. He does everything right. He does everything with honor. He does everything for the benefit of our souls, of our eternal souls. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that one thing. And I just want to encourage us this afternoon, choose the thing that is needful. Choose God. Choose life. Choose happiness. That's God. Choose the way of holiness, the way of righteousness. Choose God. Don't be like those people that were invited to that great supper. You and I have been invited to a great supper, folks. Let's not look for excuses. Let's not make up excuses. There isn't anything that you and I have to do physically. I believe I can say this in the fear of God. There isn't anything that you and I have to do in our lives that trumps or that is greater than our needs of our eternal soul. Nothing. Our eternal soul is the most valuable thing that we have. And we need to focus on that. That one thing, that's what is needful for each and every one of us today. And that's Jesus. Jesus in our hearts and our lives. I want to look at a scripture. Excuse me. Over in the book of Ephesians. I like this scripture because it deals with the value of one. And I can handle one. When you start putting multiples of things in there, it starts bringing in confusion. God is not the author of confusion, is He? And He says here in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I've seen people down through my life. I've worked with people that had a vocation and they just was using that to make money and just try to get along. They never put much value on it. They never put much of themselves into it. They never really got involved in it. They never really learned like they should. But they just got along. Just got along. Paul says to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. There's one thing needful, folks. It's the body of Christ. The one body and one Spirit. See, that's not confusing, is it? People want to confuse the gospel. They want to confuse the plan of salvation. You see people doing that. Scratching their heads and questioning and doubting and arguing over what the Bible really teaches. There's one body. There's one church, folks. Jesus only had one life and one body to give for you and I. And there's one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Keep this thing simple. Keep this thing pure and holy. Don't question and don't doubt God. His word says there's one. There's one church. I know we can go down the streets here of Springfield and we can see churches on many, many, many church buildings on many, many corners. There's only one. And you know, people come along, what makes you think you're right? Folks, the Bible is right. That's what's right. I don't want the Lord to be on my side. I want to be on His side. I want to be on His, in His territory. One Lord, one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. He only had one to give. One thing is needful, folks, and that you and I get a hold of this oneness. As he said before he brought that out, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what will bring you and I to the unity of the faith. This is what will bring you and I to a oneness of God's people. This is what will bring you and I, no matter if we have a congregation here and another congregation in Honduras and one over in India, and one over in Africa and one over in Guthrie and one over here in Louisiana. No matter where they are, folks, if we follow the rule of one, there's only one Lord. There's only one God, folks. And there's only one body. We may be different members of this body. Each congregation has members of this body, but there's only one. The one thing that is needful is the body of Christ for God's people, isn't it? That's the one thing that's needful for every one of us. One Lord, one faith, one teaching, folks, one truth, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I thank the Lord for the unity of one. The unity of the oneness of God's people. It doesn't matter what culture you came from. It doesn't matter what country you came from. It doesn't matter our differences in our makeups and our character or personality or whatever. Folks, we can all be one in Jesus Christ. He is the one that gave His body and His life for every one of us. And I so appreciate that today. I'd like to turn over and read the scripture that got me, I think, in this direction. It's found over in the book of Psalms. I had a phone call one day from a sister who I've not mentioned and said, "Brother Abbott, if it ever be possible, when I die, I want you to preach my funeral. And here's the scripture that I want you to use." Well, we don't know about the first part, but we know this scripture is very precious. It's the 27th Psalm in verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord." I want to reiterate and I want to stress to us here this afternoon, don't complicate this. Don't get confused on what's right and what's wrong. Don't get confused on what the Lord requires and what He does not require. You really want to know what the Lord requires? It's right here. It's right here. And if it's not here, then He will deal with you in a conscience way. He'll deal with, the Bible is silent on some things. I understand that. But if it's silent on something and you have a question, you go before the Lord and He will deal with you on a conscience level with the issue that is upon your heart. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That spiritual desire, isn't it? I have a spiritual desire. The one thing He's saying that I really want of the Lord. And I'm going to seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. See, he had a twofold purpose here. One thing that I desire, that I might see the beauty of the Lord and be able to inquire in his temple, to be able to come. Folks, isn't it wonderful that you and I today are kings and priests? And that you and I, we don't have to wait a year and then the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. You and I, today, you're a priest of God. And you and I can go into the, boldly into the throne of grace. And we can come before his presence. And we can minister to him and he ministers to us. It's a personal thing, folks. It's a personal thing. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Folks, that's my desire. That was this sister. She said, when you preach my funeral, I want you to use that scripture. This is where I live. This is where I dwell. This is what I want with all my heart, to see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What does that scripture say over in another place? Walk about Mount Zion, behold her bulwarks and her beauty and her glory. Folks, that ought to be our heart's desire. It ought to be our main purpose and main focus in living for the Lord, is to behold the beauty of God, the glory of God, the presence of God, the sweetness of his favor upon our souls. Don't take it for granted, folks. It's something we need. It's something we desperately need. And to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, and we're going to have that, aren't we? We all can agree on that. He will hide me in his pavilion. He'll hide me in his temple. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. That's the one thing. You got any aspirations in life? Most of us are up in years here this afternoon, but I still have a desire, an aspiration. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I want more of his presence upon my life. I want to make less fumbles. I want to make less mistakes. I want to please the Lord in a way that he would be glorified in me, in the life that I live for him. He said, in the time of trouble, folks, we call this trouble. If the Lord would allow us to live, we ain't seen nothing yet of what trouble is really coming upon this country and upon this nation. My heart goes out to our children and grandchildren, and what they might see if the Lord spares time in his coming. But he says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, hide me in his tabernacle. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and set me upon a rock. I thank the Lord for that. One thing, that's where my desire is more of the Lord. More of his presence, more of his love, more of his grace, more of his understanding. That I might have greater wisdom and greater fear of the Lord resting upon my heart and upon my life. We need the Lord, folks. We need him desperately. We can be like this young man. He was pretty sure of himself, I feel. When he came to the Lord, what must I do to inherit it? He knew that he already knew he'd kept the commandments, and he figured that was it. But folks, he came to the fountainhead. He came to the one that had eternal life to offer. And he turned and went away, didn't he? I think it says over in Matthew, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. And it even mentions how much Jesus loved him when he saw this young man. Folks, the Lord loves you today. He cares about you tremendously. He cares about your struggles. He cares about your test in life. But folks, there's one thing that is needful for every one of us, to have a desire and a heart toward God. As the song that we sang just before I got up here, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. One thing is needful for every one of us. I want us to purpose in our hearts to seek after that one thing. Seek after it, folks, with every bit within you. Seek after that one thing. Thank you for your time.